Well, praise God. Tonight we're going to be teaching on being steadfast in our faith. So many times through circumstances, our faith can be shaken. And no matter what the circumstance or trial that we face, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can remain steadfast. And steadfast means immovable. So we'll just pray before we start. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Father, for the anointing on the word, that it goes forth, and we know that your word goes forth and it will not return to you void. We thank you that this word is going out in the atmosphere of Longwood. It's going out and penetrating the climate, spiritual climate over this city. We thank you that this city shall be changed. This city shall be known as a city that loves God, loves the move of the Spirit, loves miracles, signs, and wonders. And we thank you, God, for change in lives, change in this city, change in the government of this city. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each person that's part of Word and Power Ministries. We thank you for touching those in their body that need a touch tonight, those that are physically drained, physically wore out. We speak life to them, life over people, the life of God, quickening and restoring people's bodies, restoring their joy. And Father, we thank you and we give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, goodness. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 22. I was reading this Monday afternoon and I just couldn't, my eyes just would not go any further. I just sat there and read these verses over and over and meditated on them. And so I felt like this is what I was to bring forth tonight. I'll read it first in the New American Standard, then I will read it in the Amplified because it really explains and give us more clarity to these verses. Verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, the day drawing near is the day of the coming of the Lord. So we are to be provoking one another, and we'll get into that. So I'm going to read it in the Amplified, and then I'll go back and share some. All right. Verse 22. Let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts, in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, that is, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and with our bodies cleansed with pure water. Verse 23, that was just one verse, how they expanded all of that, which is makes it so clear and more understanding. Verse 23, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess, and with our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and excite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So this gives us a further understanding, and it's a serious word, a very sobering word that we are to draw near. We find this, let us, in verse 22, and we find it in 23, and let's see, we see it, I think I counted four times in these scriptures. So Paul is saying, let us draw near with a sincere heart. That is one totally devoted to the Lord, sincere. Full assurance in verse 22 is total trust. Amplified brings that out. And the evil conscience, guilt. Guilt and shame. The enemy likes to put guilt and shame on us. And if we buy into that guilt and shame, it will cause us to draw back from God. We don't feel like we can come forward to God. The Bible says, come to the throne of God and let your requests be known. But through guilt and shame that the enemy puts on us because of if we didn't read enough today, it doesn't matter what it is, he will put something in our mind to make us feel that we're unworthy. And that's what guilt and shame does. We pull back. We don't feel like we can come to God, that he won't hear us, and that we're just not worthy. We're not fit to come before a holy God. But as we see here, our bodies have been washed with pure water. Our conscience has been cleansed from that, and our bodies are clean by the word. Even people are delivered as they sit under the anointing. As the word goes forth, the word cleanses us and washes us. If you'll turn to Ephesians 5, I believe it's 26, Ephesians 5, 26. Okay, let's see. 5:26. Yes, 5:26. Paul is in the previous verses is talking about husbands loving their wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, so that there would be a called out group of people that would surrender their lives to him and to the Lord and become born again, part of the family of God. He willingly gave his life for humanity, for that none would be lost. But not everyone does receive him. But in the same way husbands are to lay down their lives for their wives, Christ laid his life down and loved the church and gave himself up for her, verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. So the word cleanses. The word, as we hear it, as we study the word, the Holy Spirit can quicken our heart to show us something about our life that we did not realize. That's what the word does. And then we repent and we're cleansed of it in our minds, in our thoughts. So the word is powerful. It's quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can just whack something out of our life as we yield to it. But if we don't want to let go of something, we know this for a fact through counseling with people. You can counsel people and counsel people and counsel people, and they will shake their head and agree with everything you say, But if they're just agreeing mentally to, for some reason, make us feel good or maybe be sincere at that moment, but then later you find out they got the same attitudes, the same responses to people, the same sin. So we cannot force God's love on anybody. We cannot force anyone to change. If we could, everyone would be saved. Everyone would be here in this church. There would be no empty seats because we would just go out there and they would grasp the Word of God and be changed, and we could force them into doing it, but we can't because God does not want puppets. He gave us a free will, and we can choose to do right or we can choose to do wrong. So, moving along, verse back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Well, 10:23. We are to hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast. That is to not waver. It's to seize. It's to take hold of, take possession of, and not to be moved. That's what we're talking about, being steadfast. We are to hold fast our confession of our hope and not let go of it. We could be praying for someone or something for months, even years, and keep praying and keep thanking the Lord and not letting go. There's people, God will put people on your heart that you may be the only one praying for that person. And we have to keep standing in the gap, no matter what we see outwardly, no matter what everyone, if everyone is given up on that person and think you're nuts, that you still want to deal with the person, you know, you just have to be faithful to God. God puts prayer assignments on people because he knows that we'll stick with it and we'll just keep on praying. And the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gives us to pray over people in situations that seem to be so impossible, we have to hold them fast. We hold fast that confession of the Word, this over people, over our nation. We've been praying for years for an awakening, and it's beginning to happen. Slowly, little by little, but there is going to be, according to everything I have read and printed up, from prophetic ministries that we are signed up to receive their prophetic words that they get from the prophets. Everything I have printed up, it all flows together. From Kenneth Copeland to Chuck Pierce and everybody in between. It's harvest time. It's time for not to look around at the circumstance, but know that God is moving. And not to let go of the fact that God's got a plan for our nation and other nations, but we're talking about our nation here, and that it's gonna happen this year. It's gonna begin, and it's gonna grow, and it's gonna be bigger and better than anything we could have imagined. It will surpass every other move of the Spirit from the time of Jesus until his return. It will be so earth-shattering because it will cover the entire earth. I believe it's Isaiah says that the glory of God will fill the earth like the waters in the day of Noah. So it will be a mighty outpouring of God and his glory, and people will know it's God. There won't be any question, where did this come from? What's going on? They will know that there is a God, that he's real, and their lives, it will put a hunger in people, and I look forward to that day. So, which brings me down to verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one to love and good deeds. How do we get people in here? How do we get people to the Lord? But I just need to go back here on this whole fast. This whole fasting and not wavering. If we don't stay anchored and steadfast on the Word of God, we can become double-minded, and that's a very dangerous place to be. I'm going to read that out of James chapter 1. I got ahead of myself a little bit, so I'm going to back up and continue on. James chapter 1 in the Amplified, verse 8. For being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and desires. That is not a good place to be. That's like a gray area. It's like, it's not white, it's not black. We're in between. We're vacillating between truth and error. Well, maybe it's all right. You know, maybe that's okay now. God's word is true on what's right and what's wrong. And when we start calling good evil and evil good, we are unstable. We are to be steadfast. We are to know what God thinks about sin, what he condones and what he doesn't, what he provided for us that's ours. And if we waver and become double-minded, we will not receive what we have been praying for. So it cancels out our faith, because faith is steady. Faith is sure, and it's positive. Like Peter, when the waves were beating and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Well, Jesus said, come. That was the word of God to Peter. So Peter gets out of the boat. He's doing fine. He's walking. He's walking to Jesus. The wind is blowing. The waves are high and tumultuous. And he's walking. And he's looking toward Jesus. But then, all of a sudden, fear hit him. He looked at the waves. He listened to the wind. And he got fearful and he began to sink. And we can do the same thing today. We start out, maybe somebody listening has been given a bad report from the doctor. It's not a death report, but it's something that you're going to have to be medicated for and under doctor's care for forever to maintain, keep you maintaining. And so you've got the word out on the healing, that by his stripes you're healed, and then all of a sudden you decide that you're going to look up in the medical book. Our own computer. Well, years ago, we used to have a medical book. We don't have it anymore. And we don't look on the computer either for doctor, med, and all this stuff. We would get that. I would. I'd get that book out. Okay, this one of the kids that got this symptom, what is it? Is it a cold? They run a fever? Or are they going to get chicken pox or measles? And you start looking, and studying. So nowadays, people, they get on the computer, and you've been diagnosed with something, and they'll go and they'll read all about it. It could go into this, and they start reading all this negative prognosis. And I'm telling you, it will scare you, it will cause fear, and it will rob you of your faith. And we have seen that even this week with someone that had a medical condition, and they did just that. What the adverse effects of this till it gets under control. And then, I mean, it almost tried to come on me. You could, you know, I jumped up running there, called Andrew Womack for prayer. You know, no, I'm not going to give in to this evil report. It's an evil report. And it's so easy to do that. You get a prescription from the pharmacy, and you got pages of adverse effects. You go in for tonsillitis, throat infection, whatever, and they give you antibiotics, and there's a whole page. I mean, it is unbelievable adverse effects of just antibiotics. Didn't even know that, but now you know all of this. You have to be told all this. So here, what does it do? It causes you to waver. If you don't look all that stuff up, man, you can have great faith. You start reading this stuff and you start shrinking. And what if? We better be careful. We got to, you know, it's like, no. Nope, we've got to stay and maintain and hold fast and stay steadfast. Otherwise, even under a little thing like that, just checking on a prescription can just wipe out your faith. Now, Abraham, the father of faith, was fully persuaded that God was able to perform the miracle in his and Sarah's lives. You find this in Romans 4, that he was fully persuaded. We've got to be fully persuaded that what God has promised in this book, this is his letter to us, of what is ours through Jesus, what he desires for us, that nothing can shake us. And so Abraham was fully persuaded that God was faithful to his promises and that he could make good on it. So many times people promise, you know, we've seen this, I'll be here Sunday. They make a promise. At that moment, they were sincere. I believe so many of them were. They didn't mean to knock. They meant it at the time. We will be back Sunday. We will donate this to the church. They meant it at the time, but they didn't make good on it. Sunday comes along, oh man, I'm a little sleepy. I'm tired. You know, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I'll just be lazy the whole day, whatever. Oh, I can't do that. You know, we mean well. But we got to have our yay, be yay, and our nay, be nay. If we say we're going to do something, we need to keep our word because God is faithful to his word. And if we're his children and we're to emulate him and his character, then we have to be faithful to our word and do what we promise that we'll do for others. Now, Joshua and Caleb were another example. They were fully persuaded that Israel could take that promised land, could go into Canaan in spite of the giants. Remember the story. There were 12, they sent 12 spies in. Moses said, go in, spy out the land. There's giants in the land. Well, Moses didn't know that. They came back. 10 of them came back with an evil report. We can't take it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, just like you said. There, the grapes are so big that it takes two men to carry them on a pole, but there's giants. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, and they came back fully persuaded that they could, that Israel could go in and take the land in spite of the giants. Numbers 13:30 says, we should by all means, Caleb said this to Moses, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. And you know, people, there is giants in our own land, our own self. Three big ones that we battle, it's common, is fear, like I just said about the medical stuff, doubt, and unbelief. Do you really believe? You're listening to this tape. If you've got an impossible situation, do you really, really believe without wavering, without doubting, that God will bring that answer to pass? Will he do that for you? We need to be unmovable and steadfast. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This is after they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're going back into the, now they're going to go into the promised land for sure. And so we find this in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. God said to Joshua, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." That means don't be fearful. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, only be strong and very, very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Now, what do we see in the New Testament? The Bible says the way that leads to life is narrow. It's a straight path, and it's narrow. We're not to get off and wander over here in this field that's not good for us. We're not to wander, get off the path, and go over here and partake of the worldly things and get off that path. So here God's saying to Joshua, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, and that you'll have good success wherever you go. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed," which is fear, "for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go." They believed God. Now, we're just kind of flipping back. We're going to go back to Hebrews 10, we're going to pick up at verse 24, where I started a few minutes ago. "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." That's why the body of Christ is so important. Whether you're in a small body or if you're in a large body of believers, you need to have fellowship and friendship with people. If you're in a large church, possibly you have fellowship groups, something to be in a small group so that you develop a relationship with people within the body, because we need one another. When one is down, someone else in that ring of friends, God can give them a word to lift you up, or they can pick up something in the spirit that you are down and need prayer. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. It's caring one for another and being there for each other in times of need. Romans 15:1 says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." So we need to care one for another when people are down and they're not able, they're just going through a tough time. Then we need they need extra prayer, extra support, and that's why it's so important to be part of a local body. like it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling together. If you're not part of a local body, when you are going through hard times, difficult times, it's just you. It's just your little family unit. And you have no one else to draw strength from other than the Lord if you're still in connect, you know, if you're still walking with Him. But we still need people, the Lord in flesh, to come along and say, man, you really blessed me. You really encouraged me. How can I help you? Do you need some help today? How can I help you? That's why it's not good to be lone rangers and not part. And we know people that have been part of local bodies. We know them. We know people personally that once went to church, once were active in church, love going to church, and they don't go to church anymore. They're turned off by church. They don't like, they think it should be, the church should be one way, and if they don't see that happening in local churches. And so they stay home. And watching church on television is fine. But if you're in your living room and you're watching somebody on TV, they can't talk to you. You can't go to them and say, you know, would you please pray for me? Would you lay hands on me? The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they recover. So you're missing out. And sometimes people are sick. They can't make it to church. And that's why especially good for people that are shut in. And we have our set programs that we watch every day ourselves. But as pastors, and even when we weren't pastoring, we always were in church. We never stopped going to church. So the body of Christ, there's missing body parts. They're not functioning. They're malnourished, and they're at home, and they're weak at home. They need to be within a local church so they can flourish, so they can contribute their gifts. Maybe they have a wonderful singing talent or playing an instrument in their home, and it's not blessing anybody. Every person has gifts and talents that God wants to be used in the local congregations. Joel 2:8 says, and this is talking about an end-time invasion of the enemy in Israel, but prophetically it says a lot as well. It says, they do not crowd each other. They march every one in his path. God has a purpose for each one. If you are a Sunday school teacher, maybe God's called you to Sunday school teaching. Teach the kids. Don't try to teach from the pulpit. Or if he's called you to go to the hospitals, don't drive a bus. Stay with what God's put on your heart to do. He has an assignment for each person. So they marched in their own path. They didn't try to get off on something, do what somebody else was doing, because you can't do what someone else is doing, and someone else can't do what you're supposed to be doing. And so when they burst through the defenses, they do not break rank. Each one marched in place, in order, in rank. And the body of Christ, so many are AWOL. They're not marching. They're not joined and linked up one to another. And they're not staying on the path that God has for them. They have gone AWOL from the public assembling. And that's sad, because we know people that have such anointings and talents that are not being used. So with this, I'm going to close, and I hope you've been encouraged to remain steadfast in the things of God and in His purposes and in His plan for your life. So with that, we'll close.